Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important, fastest growing, and now largest segment of society. To those like our guest this morning who know that the world's political, religious, military, economic, academic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they've become counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion anytime over the next 3 hours, is toll free, 877-300-7645. It is my great pleasure to welcome N.I.Q. Al-Rasuli. He is the foremost expert in the world on the religion of Islam. He has written a series of books called Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. I.Q., good morning.
Good morning, too, sir.
I had tagged a number of videos, a number of sites where the video of the supposed execution of James Foley were posted. And this morning when I came into my study, everyone had the following message across the screen. It says, this video has been removed as a violation of YouTube's policy against spam. Well, there was no spam here. Scams, I think there is a scam here, and commercially deceptive content. Oh, boy, is there deceptive content.
Yes.
I.Q., you've watched the video. My guess is you have watched, as I have, many hundreds of beheading videos perpetrated by Muslims. Is that correct on both accounts?
Not hundreds, but I watched enough to make me sick.
Okay. I've actually watched hundreds of them. And the reason I've watched so many of them is that, personally, I think it is essential for people to look the hideousness of Islam in the eyes, to see it raw. Because when you have to deal with an individual atrocity, which is so much more profound than, for example, in your country, in Iraq, there were 1.2, 1.3 million Christians. Now there are essentially none. They've been annihilated. Saying that is horrific, but it doesn't influence people because there's no visual content to it. They can't relate to hundreds of thousands of people being abused by a religion. But you watch a video of one person losing their lives while Muslims are screaming Allahu Akbar, it pierces the soul. So I've seen hundreds. I would tell you, I.Q., that when I saw this video, my first impression is, no, this isn't happening. This isn't real. This is a fraud. This is completely unlike every other beheading video I've ever seen. What was your impression?
Exactly the same. Because I've seen many, I didn't say hundreds, but I see enough. And don't forget, I come from Arab country. I come from Iraq. I've seen slaughters. I've seen demonstrations in Baghdad. In Shara al-Rashid, that's the main street in Baghdad, and the army goes in and slaughters them with machine guns. I mean, I've seen death and destruction, so I'm not worried about it.
Have you ever seen a Muslim?
In Pakistan, when he was beheaded, he was on the floor, kneeling. He had all the other Muslims with kafiya covering their faces with machine guns and machetes, and when they cut his head off, they showed it to the world. And they're shouting, Allahu Akbar. Nothing like this happened in this one. Nothing. Not an iota.
Not one iota. Yeah, there's absolutely nothing. One of the things that is so important for our listeners to understand is the ghoulish nature of this religion. The inferiority complex that associated with this religion that makes Muslims crave the idea of having an infidel bowing down on their knees before them, their hands bound, them controlling them, the infidel begging for their life, and then slowly and deliberately and ruthlessly sawing off that infidel's neck as they choke on their own blood. Everything that Islam represents revels in that experience.
That is true, by the way. That's 100% true. They are nihilists. Islam is pure nihilism. That means self-destruction, the destruction of everything which is good. Nothing good about Islam. I have spent 30 years trying to find an iota of decency in them, an iota of mercy, an iota of logic. None. They don't exist.
Yeah, an iota of something that would be beneficial for society as a whole. And there literally is nothing. I mean, this is a destructive, deceitful death cult. And, you know, I'm not saying that. You don't say that to be hateful. In fact, it's the most loving thing we can possibly say, because it's the truth. All you have to do is read the Quran, read the Hadith. I want to share with you, and then we're going to go back to the video. This was the comments by the Obaminator, President Barack Hussein Obama, on Wednesday.
A Muslim, you mean?
Yeah. Well, if he isn't a Muslim, he's certainly a Muslim sympathizer. He was raised a Muslim, that's for true. He was educated as a Muslim in a madrasa. His father was a Muslim, which, according to Islam, makes him a Muslim. But at the very least, he's an Islamic sympathizer. A visibly angry President Obama on Wednesday said that the world was appalled. He couldn't say he was appalled. The world was appalled by the news that Islamic militants, he, by the way, did not refer to them as Islamic militants, had murdered American journalist James Foley and compared the militants to a cancer that must be extracted from the region. This is his quote. Today, the entire world is appalled. Again, he wants to speak for the world because he is the world's leader in his eyes, not for himself. Today, the entire world is appalled at the brutal murder of James Foley by the terrorist group ISIL. He, you know, as you know, it's not ISIL. It never was ISIL. It was ISIS, but it's now simply the Islamic State. He doesn't want to say Islamic State. Then it goes on to say that the journalist here had to put the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria before this statement because Obama won't say Islamic State. It says it speaks for no religion. Their victims are overwhelmingly Muslim, and no faith teaches people to massacre innocents. No just God would stand for what they did yesterday and what they do every single day. It has no ideology of any value to human beings. Their ideology is bankrupt. They may claim out of expediency that they are at war with the United States or the West, but the fact is they terrorize their neighbors and offer them nothing but an endless slavery to their empty vision and the collapse of any definition of civilized behavior. There has to be a clear rejection of these kind of nihilistic ideologies. One thing that we can all agree on is that a group like ISIL has no place in the 21st century. Now, I'm here to tell you, IQ, that much of what he said is true. But not the way he said it. Everything that he said is untrue based upon the way he framed this issue, that no religion is associated with these killings.
May I interrupt you?
Absolutely. Your floor.
Because he used the word no God. He is absolutely right. No God.
Yeah, that's true.
Because Allah is not a God.
That is true.
That is the fundamental difference between Obama's expressions and what you and I are talking about. He is absolutely correct. No merciful, compassionate God would allow these things to happen. But Allah, the God of Islam, is not the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham. Something else he completely dismisses. He talks no religion. He is absolutely wrong. Islam, which he considers to be a religion, is exactly what he described.
Exactly. Exactly. It is a cancer. It is uncivilized. It is murderous. But what he said is he disassociated the Islamic State from Islam, and which was exactly what I predicted he would do the moment I saw the video, is the first thing he's going to do is he's going to disassociate the Islamic State from Islam. And yet, the only thing that is meaningful, the only thing that motivates the Islamic State is Islam. They are the purest, most accurate manifestation of Islam as it was lived by Muhammad on the planet today.
Correct. But he is not willing. He has grown up in a background of Islam that, in, especially in Indonesia at the time, were more secular than they were religious. But he has never read the Quran. I guarantee Obama has never, ever read the Quran.
And yeah, I would agree with you.
He still continues under the impression that there are secular Muslims. They don't exist. They
Correct.
Never existed.
Correct. And there
That's
is no such thing.
Denial.
There is no such thing as a peaceful Muslim. All good Muslims are terrorists. And we're not saying that again because that's our opinions. Not my opinion.
No, that's exactly what the Quran says. For goodness
Correct.
Sake, that's exactly what the Quran says. It says, if you are a friend of a Jew or a Christian, you are an enemy of Islam.
Yeah.
I don't say that. You don't say that. The Quran says that.
The entire purpose of the ninth surah of the Quran, set into context, Muhammad had overhunted Jews. There were no more Jews within camel ride of Mecca or Medina for Muhammad's goons to murder, to enslave, and to rape, and to rob. And that's all they ever did with the Jews. And they overhunted them. Kabar was the last of them. And so Muhammad had to have new prey because he had created a religion that was wholly based on piracy and terrorism. That was the entire economy of his religion. And so he needed new prey. And the only group of people within camel ride of Medina and Mecca that he hadn't terrorized were Byzantines. And they actually had a military. They actually had the ability to fight back. And so the first Muslim says, we ain't going to go in. We're not going there. We're not going to follow you to go plunder the Byzantines. They have an army. We don't have a death wish. And what Muhammad says, if you're a peaceful Muslim, that's what the ninth surah is all about. And you're unwilling to engage in jihad when called to do so. You cease to be a Muslim. You become a hypocrite, an apostate, and good Muslims are ordered to kill you. Based upon the Quran's ninth surah, it's impossible to be a peaceful Muslim.
But we are telling the world this again and again and again, and people are listening. They still don't believe what we're saying.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is beyond their comprehension. It is beyond their comprehension.
It's amazing that the majority of people believe the president when he disassociates the Islamic State from Islam. And they do not believe us when we cite the Quran and make that undeniable, irrefutable association. Muslims want to be like Muhammad. Muslims often bear Muhammad's name. They are ordered in the Quran to follow Muhammad's example. And Muhammad cut off the heads of 600 to 900 Jewish men and boys before the weeping eyes of their wives and mothers, before the crying tears of their daughters and sisters. All in one afternoon in a giant spectacle in Medina, throwing the heads and bodies in a trench that are still there in the Prophet's city, thereby sanctioning decapitation of infidels as an authorized and desirable Islamic act. And since Islam is a compilation of Muhammad's words and deeds, nothing more, nothing less, we are witnesses to thousands of beheadings in the name of Allah. And the one we witnessed with James Foley was unlike all of the others we have seen. IQ, it's one thing for me to say that Muhammad decapitated 600 to 900 Jewish men and then raped the women and enslaved the children all in one afternoon. But you can share with our listeners not only the Quran's affirmation that this took place, but also some of the hadith that describe the events that day. Would you mind doing so for our listeners?
Not at all. The most important hadith that describes this event, this ghoulish event, is by Ibn Ishaq in his book called Sirat Rasulullah, means the biography of Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, which is the biography of Muhammad.
By the way, that
and
book, says, can I just interrupt you 1 second so people have an idea of the nature of that book? That book has nothing from the author. It is simply a compilation of hadith, correct?
Absolutely correct.
And a hadith
he wrote
is
140 years after the events.
Okay. It appeared about the same time the first written copies of the Quran appeared. So it is by far the oldest presentation of Muhammad's words and deeds.
Absolutely correct.
There is no more credible source in all of Islam of what Muhammad said and did than this compilation of hadith, which are all reports from Muhammad and his companions. Is that all true?
This is not only true, but in fact, Ibn Ishaq's reports, which is about 500, 600 pages in a book,
right,
in English, completely and utterly discredit Muhammad as a prophet and as receiving the Quran from Allah.
Correct.
Literally, they self-destruct with this book.
As a matter of fact, it's interesting that the first who read the book in a civilized country, and it was read around 800 CE, and we have reports from a number of philosophers and scholars who were first confronted with this book, and we have a number of letters subsequently from people over the ages that have read this book. And the, one of the things that they all have in common is this book is so heinous, so ghoulish, so repulsive, and Muhammad's character is so depraved that everyone is left wondering, how in the world can someone who is so disgusting have created a religion that millions and now billions of people follow? Because everyone's response, I mean, every sane person in the history of mankind who has read what's called the Sirah, the biography of Muhammad, the oldest Islamic source, have come to the exact same conclusion, that the man that is presented in it, the biography of Muhammad, is absolutely perverted, heinous, disreputable. He is psychopath. He is insane, demon-possessed. Every bad thing you can possibly say.
Absolutely true. But nonetheless, because the children of Muslims are indoctrinated from the moment they are born with the Allahu Akbar, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, to start the first year, the first thing they hear, until they grow up in the madrasas, in their schools, they are indoctrinated. 1,500 million human beings are literally indoctrinated. Why I say that?
Right. Yeah,
why do
true.
I repeat it? Because it is impossible, and I mean the word impossible, I'll repeat it again, for any human being decent with two brain cells of logic, reading the Quran and reading the Sirah, to believe that Muhammad is a good human being. It's impossible.
Or that he spoke for an actual God.
Absolutely. It's impossible, I'm telling you.
Yeah, but the same thing is true of the Quran. You can't be a sane individual and read the Quran and come to the conclusion that that book was dictated by a
God.
Genuine God. All right, now, so we've quantified the source, and the music is going to play before too long. You know, we can speak to the music. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to present this both from the Sirah, which is the oldest written compilation of hadith. It's the only book besides the Quran that appeared within 120 to 130 years of Muhammad's death. And it has exactly the same validity of the Quran because it comes to us from the same people in exactly the same way at the same time. Welcome back to Shattering. We have IQR Rasuli, who's going to share from the Quran and Hadith what Muhammad did in Medina some years ago, now 1,400 years ago, that has caused the events that we have witnessed around the world in terms of beheadings to take place with reckless abandon throughout the Islamic world. Muslims are not corrupting their religion. They are following Muhammad's example. And here's proof. IQ?
Well, according to Ibn Ishaq in his book, Sirat Rasulullah, the biography of Muhammad, in the year 627 AD, Muhammad and his followers accused the Qurayza tribe. The Qurayza tribe was a Judaized Arab. They were pagan Arabs who had converted to the religion of the Jews without coercion. He accused them of siding with his enemies, the Quraysh, and hence deserving of being attacked. He had them surrounded in their homes for 25 days until they had to surrender.
Can I ask you a question? Was there actually any violence perpetrated by a member of the Quraysh tribe against Muhammad or the Muslims, or was all of this fictitious just to justify killing them, robbing them, raping them, enslaving them?
That was fictitious, and I'm going to address it by the end of the report.
Okay, please.
600 to 900 men and boys of age of puberty were literally butchered one by one in front of their women and children. The women were thereafter raped and or sold with the children into slavery. According to Ibn Kathir, one of the authorities on Islam, of course, the Quranic verse 33:26-27 are describing actually the attack against the Bani Qurayza in the Quran. And this verse is sanctified by the demonic god of Islam called Allah. The verse I'm going to recite, Al-Ahzab, means the allies. Chapter 33, verse 26. It says, Allah did take them down from their strongholds and cast terror into their hearts. He's talking about the Judaized Arabs. So that some of you slaughtered and some you made prisoners. And Allah made you heirs of their lands, their horses, and their goods, and the land that did not belong to you before. And Allah has power all over all things. Before we move further, it is very, extremely important that our listeners are made aware of the following. All that humanity knows about what has transpired between Muhammad, his followers, and anyone else in the Arabian Peninsula are the uncorroborated, inauthentic, unwitnessed, one-sided reports bequeathed to humanity by the victorious Muslims without a single record from their exterminated victims. This
That's
is
correct.
So important that people hear it. All you read about the Quran, all you read about the Hadith is one-sided. There are no other reports to corroborate any of them.
But these are Muslims bragging. I mean, first of all, the Quran, this is Muhammad's situational scripture, so he's having his God sanctify what his butcherous, heinous religious followers did. But everything that you're going to hear, this is Muslims, the first Muslims, the Muslims with Muhammad, gloating about being repulsive.
The other verse is Muhammad. Chapter 47, verse 4 says, therefore, when you meet the infidels, unbelievers, that's 80% of current humanity, by the way, who are not Muslim, smite at their necks. What does that mean?
Cut their heads off.
Chop them off. Mm-hmm. So really, the Arabic or the English translation is unambiguous. Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 190. Fight in the cause of Allah. وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلَ اللَّهِ those who fight you, and slay them, وَقْتُلُوهُمْ wherever you catch them, and fight them, وَقْتُلُوهُمْ until there is no more tumult or oppression. And he is talking in here about the Muslims fighting all non-Muslims. Again, slay them, butcher them.
Smiting them at their necks, cutting off their heads.
Absolutely. I mean, there are so many verses, it turns your stomach over.
Let me actually share the statement.
I can give you 19 pages, A4. 19 A4 pages of verses exactly of the same. It's all death and destruction.
There's not
a single verse in the Quran that shows any compassion or mercy or love between the God of Islam, Allah, and anyone else. Not even to the Muslims.
The Oxford Press translation of Ishaq's Sirah, or biography of Muhammad, on page 464 of this event reads, the Jews were made to come down, and Allah's messenger imprisoned them. Then the prophet went out into the marketplace of Medina. It is still the marketplace today. And he dug trenches in it. He sent for the Jewish men and had them beheaded in those trenches. They were brought out to him in batches. They numbered 800 to 900 boys and men.
By the way, I will repeat again. This is not a propaganda by the Jews. This is not propaganda by the Christians.
Nope.
These are the words of the Muslims telling us what Muhammad did and what his followers did.
Correct. And the Quran tells Muslims that they should follow Muhammad's example. This is Muhammad's example. So how can the President of the United States disassociate decapitation of an infidel from Islam when it was, in fact, Muhammad's example? It is affirmed in the hadith, in the oldest hadith, and in the Quran.
The only reason he would do that is because he's deceiving the American public.
Correct.
That's the only reason. I cannot call him stupid. He's not stupid.
No.
I cannot call him ignorant. He's not ignorant.
No.
This is deliberate deception. Taqiyya.
Right. Deliberate deception. By the way, in Islam, deliberate deception has a name. Taqiyya is the name. And Muhammad himself instructs Muslims to be deceptive. In fact, Muhammad's own example is to be deceptive.
Absolutely.
In fact, the beginning of the ninth surah, it begins by saying that any agreement, any vow between a Muslim and non-Muslim is not binding on the Muslim. So the Muslim is told that they are authorized to lie on behalf of Islam. Yeah, to make the victims easier prey.
Yeah, in the last few months, last, 46 days, we had Hamas, a Muslim entity,
right,
break their promise of ceasefire 11 times.
Correct.
11 times they broke the ceasefire that they promised they will keep.
And what does the Obamanator, Barack Hussein Obama, order Israel to do, even knowing that Hamas, the fundamentalist Islamic group, has broken this ceasefire 11 times and began this whole thing by breaking the previous ceasefire, and that they have never honored any agreement that they've ever signed? What is Obama ordering Israel to do?
Not to defend herself properly.
Right. And to engage in a treaty with these same people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. A treaty, yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, the treaty that the Obama nation wants Israel to agree to lifts the blockade, which means that Hamas can import as many weapons as Hamas wants.
Obama is an Islamist, whether
yes,
he admits it or not. Obama supported the Muslim Brotherhood against the government of Egypt. Obama supported the Muslim Brotherhood and ISIS, the one he's talking about, in Libya against Gaddafi. Obama is enemy number one in the world.
Right.
Enemy number one.
Yeah.
Not ISIS, right, not the Muslim Brotherhood. Obama stands alone as the greatest enemy of Western civilization.
Would the Islamic State exist had America not invaded Iraq in the first place?
Well, we have to go back to Iraq here. It all starts with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And would the Islamic State, would the Islamic State be armed to the hilt, be populated with Muslims from around the world, be insanely well armed and rich, if the United States hadn't supplied arms to the Sunni Mujahideen in Syria?
So we're moving from Iraq. I know. The beginnings of the disaster started when they removed Gaddafi, because all his armaments fell into the enemy hands. All of them.
Yep.
And he had tons and tons of armaments.
Yeah. By the way, beyond that, Qatar, using American weapons, initially armed the Mujahideen with America's blessing and the CIA's involvement to overthrow Gaddafi.
Correct.
On the ground, so that they could get all of those weapons, and they became an arms market for the world. And yes, it's directly Obama's decision to engage in the Libyan war, and his decision to engage in the Syrian war, both created ISIS. There would be no Islamic State.
And not only this, Yaga. America is going to pay a heavy price.
Heavy.
Europe is going to pay a heavy price. There are over 50,000 in England alone Muslims who are more than happy to join ISIS.
Do you know the numbers that was a report out of England yesterday that said there are more Muslims fighting for the Islamic State, British Muslims fighting for the Islamic State, than British Muslims involved in the British military?
Of course. But why is everybody surprised?
I've always said
that Muslims in America cannot ever be loyal to the American Constitution because the American Constitution is not Sharia compliant. Yeah. And Muslims in America cannot be loyal to the American people, the 90% of them who are non-Muslim, because they are infidels. And yet people think I'm a racist. I'm not a racist. I'm telling you the way it is. You don't like it, lump it, and you are going to pay a heavy price.
You know, what I want to do, and I hope that you can stay with us just a little bit longer today than normal, I would love to be able to go through why that video that we saw of James Foley being executed is a fake. Not for any conspiracy theory, because neither of us are the least bit prone to conspiracy. But because it is so obvious that it's a fake, it means that the U.S. government knows it's a fake. And so we have to ask ourselves a question. Why is the U.S. government, why is the British government purporting something to be true that is not true? And I think there's only one answer. And that is that the United States and Britain want to broaden the war and start bombing in Syria. And they're going to use this as their justification for doing so. Of this, I am certain. We'll return with IQ Hour Sully. Welcome back to Shattering This. We have a question from Kirk before we move on to the video. Kirk, welcome. Always good to hear from you. I understand today you actually have a question from IQ.
Well, yes, sir. I was curious. You know, the price that someone pays in this country to walk away from a religion is maybe a little bit economic. You can lose a lot of friends, that sort of thing. But in Islam, you're pretty much putting a target on your back and asking to be killed. How was it that people like yourself and others and friends that you know, were y'all able to, number one, figure out this is wrong, and number two, how did you find the ability to walk away from it? Islam.
Well, it's very simple if you have the brains.
Well, if you have the information, though.
It's very important. I grew up in Iraq. Mm-hmm. I was being indoctrinated there. We had very limited access to information. Mm-hmm. When I went to Europe to study, I had infinite access to information. And when I started comparing the scripture of the Quran that I was studying in Iraq and compared it to the Bible, whatever was written in the Quran about the Bible had absolutely nothing to do with the Bible. Completely wrong. Mm-hmm. So I continued studying and then studying and researching. Being outside Islamic area, you can convert. You can leave Islam. But if you are in Iraq or any Muslim country and you do that, you have maybe 5 minutes to survive. And then they decapitate you.
So, and by the way, it's your own family that's going to kill you.
Absolutely.
It's not the authorities that will kill
brother,
you.
Your brother, your sisters, your
mother, your father.
Absolutely. 100% guarantees.
Now, the reason, by the way, Kirk knows and our other listeners know, the reason you did the comparison between the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms and the Quran is because the Quran says in multiple places that it confirms the Torah and the Prophets and the Psalms. And when, in fact, it contradicts it in every possible way, it means the fundamental basis, I mean, the Quran's absolute foundation is that it's the same God and that it confirms the stories in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. The fact that it is the antithesis of it proves for any informed, rational person that Islam is false.
Yes, because Allah is definitely not God. And if Allah is not God, and especially, specifically, more emphatically, he's not the same as the God of Jesus, Moses, and Abraham, then nobody ever revealed anything to Muhammad. So every letter, every word, every chapter, every verse of the Quran are the product of Muhammad's imagination, the secretions of his warped mind, but cleverly projected into the unsuspecting mouth of Allah and Gabriel to give them the aura of sanctity and divinity. It's that simple. It's not complicated. We don't need to go to war with Islam. Islam self-destructs. Why? Because the four horsemen of the apocalypse of Islam are called knowledge, 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 and knowledge. And we have that. Yada has that. I have that. That's why no imam will ever come and debate with us. No one on earth. and no intelligent being outside the solar system can come against Yada or me or anybody who knows this subject, debate us and win. Cannot be done. And this is not a brag. I have over $1.5 million worth of challenges to every human being on the planet to take them up for the last 6 years. By the way, nobody has ever become. Not a dime. I haven't lost a dime.
Now, IQ, there's very few things that are simple. The world's fairly complicated. But the fact that Islam is a complete and utter fraud and falls apart in every possible way, it is that simple. It is that clear. Islam's primary claim is that the God of the inspired the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, and that it confirms the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. That is its claim to credibility. And it says that multiple times in the Quran, and yet the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, when compared to the Quran, are the opposite. It's not like they have something in common. It's not like one confirms the other. They are the absolute antithesis of one another. That simple.
But correct. It is that simple. And because it is so simple that it escaped the intellect of most human beings. Because it's too simple.
What's interesting here, while Yahweh, the God of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, proves his existence through prophecy, and there isn't a single correct prophecy in all of Islam. And while Yahweh does that through prophecy and proves that he is the author of the, and that he inspired and that he is God, the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, and he has a credible creation account that is precisely accurate in time to begin his story, and the Islamic creation accounts are multiple and all erroneous. The fact is, it doesn't matter if the Torah, prophets, and Psalms are inspired, are godly, are true, as far as Islam goes. It's false just because it claims that it confirms that which it contradicts in every possible way. There is no rational possibility that Islam is valid based on that analysis.